Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to LA Kings Road Talk Radio.
Staples on Thursday. I believe they're playing Colorado, are they not, Jeff?
Correct. Yes, Colorado.
So what a great way to come home after a road, you know, tough road trip. You've won a good big game there. You know, got a point out into the Islanders. Win a big game in Philly. Now you get to come home and play the league's patsy. So you figure if you beat Colorado, now you're feeling a little bit better because you put together, you know, 5 points in six games. And I don't know, who are they playing the next game, the immediate game after Colorado?
I believe after Colorado hit, the Kings are going to San Jose to take on the Sharks.
Yikes. Okay, so they'll have a little bit of momentum. Sharks definitely not as strong as they were in years past. And you figure they can go in if they can get a road win against the Sharks. Now, all of a sudden, once again, you got three wins in a row and you got a lot of momentum. So very, very good on them. We'll see if they can do it. But I think, too, the other thing that that was really pronounced tonight, along with, once again, you know, I don't know. I got a lot to talk about. I guess we'll talk about this in the three stars. But, you know, kudos to John Stevens for really, he's not afraid to roll the dice. He's not afraid to make a roster decision. And you saw that scratching Jokinen, scratching Clifford, throwing in Brodzinski, throwing in Andrioff. I don't think anybody would have saw that coming at all. And you know what, though? I think, to his credit, I apologize for my voice kind of going out here, but it was a crazy weekend and whatnot. But to his credit, I think that you need to occasionally do that to really make players earn their time, earn their keep. If you're a fourth-line player, you should never be thinking that your role is safe, even if you're a third-line player. If you're a Ussin Jokinen, I don't think you could approach the game thinking that your job and your position is so safe that you don't have to give a constant effort. So, once again, we can look at the acquisition of Torrey Mitchell, and by bolstering that bottom six, you bet your ass that you're going to be getting a much better effort from those borderline players, because if they don't give 110% and don't give a solid effort, chances are. And that's kind of I think that's kind of the message Stevens is sending right here. Jeff, do you think that's do you think he was just rotating players in, or do you think that this was definitely sending a message after the last couple games?
I think there is a method to that madness, because John Stevens, even like with his post-game pressers, say with LA Kings insider John Rosen, with the media, just the way he talks about how he does things, he's the type of coach that will even take the blame if there's something that he did that didn't work out, whether it was a strategy or whether they should have flown into the East a day earlier than they did, and maybe the team was tired, or using certain players or putting certain players together. And I think that's very, very refreshing to hear that from the head coach of the team. And I really, truly believe, without being that fly on the wall, that John Stevens is the type of head coach that if there is something not working, he's not going to change the lines right away like Sutter would. Like, if Sutter did like something in first five seconds of the game, all the lineups will be changed by the sixth second, right? He just keeps, like, throwing them around. John Stevens will actually analyze it. He will go with his coaches. He'll watch the video. He'll talk to the actual players. He'll get their opinions. And, yeah, most of the year we saw Iafallo with Kopitar and Brown. We've seen both Kempe and Chiar play the second line with the Foley and Pearson. But if there needs to be a bit of a shuffle, he's not afraid to put in that shuffle, like put Gabbert back in the top line with Kopitar and Dustin Brown. Kempe now back in the second line with the Foley and Pearson. Thor on the third. Andy Andreev, as you mentioned, going in, use Jokinen out, you know, and it's he's not afraid to do that. And if he sees something that works, then he's going to stay with it. And I think he really believes that, even though it was very competitive the last two games for the Kings, and if the Kings had a bounce or two or a certain penalty not happening, like in the Islanders game, because there was no elbow to the face, the games could have gone the Kings' way, but he really wanted to spark in that fourth line, and I thought having Andrioff and Brodzinski there together with our scoring phenom, Torrey Mitchell, has been a real smart play by John Stevens. But, yeah, definite definitely hip check a method to his madness. And then we have another guy here on the line to help us with the show. He was on before, I guess maybe some phone difficulties, but he's back now. Of course, I mean our good friend, the LA King superfan, Augie Loya. Augie, how are you today, sir?
I'm doing really well, aside from the technical difficulties that I was having here, is sometimes technology can actually really suck. I was pretty much, let's put it like this. My technology today was sort of like the King's power play of late. It seems like a good idea, but maybe we should decline and stick to old school. So, I heard Hip's opening remarks, and all of a sudden I heard nothing. So I was out of touch with you guys. I felt lost, but I have found my way home here on LA Kings Road Talk Radio.
Well, next time you call in, Augie, make sure you leave a trail of crumbs so you can find your way back.
That's always try, Hip. I always try.
So
I find traces of hockey tape help as well when you get lost. If you have a lot of hockey tape, just take a little bit of tape, roll it up, or tape it to a side of a tree where you can see it. That works as well. Not that I've been lost many times in the wilderness. Okay, maybe a couple of times, but it does actually work.
That's true. But you know what else works? The other thing that works, too, is discarded hockey player teeth. That works as well. So I did sprinkle some Dowdy around, some Clifford, some Carter.
Nice.
We got those around. Nice. Yeah. So follow those home as well. Those spin chiclets.
Nice. So yeah, Augie, what you missed, me and Jeff and I were talking about the methods and madness of Coach Stevens. And as we were talking about, I couldn't help but think, was there anybody out there that was thinking, okay, so killed in New Jersey, lose a tough one on the Rangers, managed to eke out a point against the Islanders. Now you're going into Philly, kind of a tough building to play in. They're winner six straight. Was there anybody out there that said, you know what the Kings really need to do is scratch that Jokinen and give Andre off another shot?
When I think of a remedy for a problem in hockey, Andy Andreoff is not at the top of the prescription list. So, I'd say that was a surprise. But hey, hunger is hunger, and maybe it was a matchup thing. Maybe Jokinen doesn't match up well against the Flyers for some reason. Maybe he doesn't have good career numbers against them. I don't know what the analytics were in that decision, but turned out to be a good one. And the other thing, too, is that I kind of want to point out that I didn't get to point out is mixing up of the lines allowed the Kings to unleash their newest enforcer, number 22, Trevor Lewis, who, of course, gets the Islanders surprised everybody by dropping the gloves. So maybe they thought putting out the tough guy Lewis out there with some skilled players, he'd be able to intimidate the Broad Street Bullies and lead the Kings to victory there along with Andy Andreoff. But, I didn't see that one coming, but okay. It worked.
Yeah. And let's not overlook the fact that Lewis scores again. Looks like he's definitely going to set a career high in goals. And, at the preseason, too, we talked about, the hiring of Pierre Turgeon. And, some of the things that he was kind of doing. And Augie, you're around the Toyota Sports Center more than anybody. But do you think we've seen it tonight, because Lewis's goal was fairly similar to Kempe's goal. You know, they both came from about that same spot on the ice. Do you think that's something that Turgeon, was teaching the players more, maybe something about that angle and the goalie's view and aiming in a certain spot is maybe always going to have a high propensity? Is that something you've seen them practice? And once again, what was your vibe that you feel from that?
I think it goes beyond Turgeon. I think it goes into the Kings' eye-opening starting to embrace analytics. It was something that Luke Robitaille and Rob Blake talked about in the preseason season ticket holders meeting that they had over at the Microsoft Theater, and they put up a graph up on the on an overhead, big giant one, of course. And what it showed there was the amount of goals scored by the NHL from hotspots in the slot. And then it showed, then they put up another graph that showed the amount of times the Kings scored from that spot in the past season, and it was like, whoa, the Kings are not getting into the hotspot of that area where your percentage or your chances of beating a goalie increase exponentially. And that was in the preseason. So now you incorporate Pierre Turgeon with his scoring discipline and then the overall, the architects of that offense, putting those analytics to work. And I think that's what you're seeing is that synergy of the data that's used, going to a spot on the ice and shooting from that general area. And that's, it's a combination of all those factors all coming together and that offensive coordinatorship that Pierre Turgeon now has with the club, that this is the, and this is the first time the Kings have ever done that, this whole offensive coordinator thing. So they are executing on the analytics that are taught to them in their muscle memory when they're out there, because they definitely do work on that in practice and amongst a lot of other stuff that they work on that that was not necessarily worked on before because it wasn't really considered important during the previous regime. And I shouldn't say important, but what I should say is a priority by the previous managerial staff and those decision makers that were there.
Yeah, yeah, you know, that's exactly what you're thinking. You know, really credit bringing in a younger crew definitely has a little bit more out of the box thinking. Nobody, I think, is ever going to would ever say that Sutter really was an out of the box guy or willing to take chances. And we love Lombardi, but once again, when we really look at it, you're right. I think this is definitely what we're, once again, too, just really even the hiring of Pierre Turgeon, just to even consider that. You know, I don't think any of the old school GMs, including Lombardi, would have ever thought about hiring for that position. And really, when you look at the success the Kings have, this might be kind of a new era where we might be seeing more and more in that, where a team will maybe bring in a guy just for that kind of position. He's not necessarily going to work the bench. He's not necessarily going to be an X's and O's guy, but he's definitely going to be an eye in the sky guy and kind of take a different look at the way that teams play offense and the way other teams are scoring. So really, really great, great observation there, Augie.
Oh, thank you. Just one other thing to add. You really have to have a coach who has the right type of ego to even allow that position to exist. And Coach Stevens, it just seems is the right kind of guy for this kind of system. And the other aspect that comes into play is Pierre Turgeon has credibility with these players because he was in the league and he was a very successful goal scorer. And he still gets out there with the skates and the sticks and the – even though, yeah, he's older, he's aged, the hands are still there, the muscle memory is there, that skill, that foundational skill and hockey knowledge is there, and these guys embrace it and love it. I mean, when you see their faces out there and they're allowed to do stuff and be creative and such, it really is a refreshing kind of, it's a breath of fresh air over the past few years. And not to take anything away from Lombardi and Sutter, because we all, as King fans, are so grateful for what they brought in the history that they made with us, but it just was a time for a changing of the guard. That's what happened was a changing of the guard.
Absolutely. Jeff, is it time that we maybe should roll the three stars?
Sure. Sure, if you want to. I can get that set up. No problem.
Perfect. Now, We were in consensus for star number one and star number two. We varied a little bit for star number three. So I'll tell you what, let's do a quick round robin, Jeff, while you're picking that up. I'll select my third star. You can select yours, Jeff, and then Augie can select his. But I was really impressed by actually Alex Martinez. I don't know, you know, if I think he might have gotten an assist or something like that, but when Follin went down, Martinez's ice time went up. And I just thought he was really solid after probably not expecting to get as much time as he did, and he's always smooth. You saw he made a nice little between the legs play to his forward that actually started a rush from his own defensive zone, no less. And you know, it always takes defensemen a little bit more, you know, longer to mature. So maybe there's hope for Derek Forbert, but you definitely kind of see the maturity now from Alex Martinez. And once again, not really great at any one thing, but he's very solid at almost everything. And I don't know what it was about his play tonight. I just thought that he, out of the blue, ended up getting more ice time than he normally would have. And he is just such a, once again, really always under control. Seldom makes the risky or bad play. And we, you know, throw accolades at Doughty all the time. But I was just impressed by Martinez. And after we do this, I definitely have a go to the game that we could talk about too. Go ahead, Augie.
You know, for me, it's got to be Torrey Mitchell. That guy has given the Kings a dimension they haven't had in a while, and that's a guy that can win faceoffs. And that faceoff that he won, straight back over to Martinez, who put that first goal home to give the Kings a 1-0 lead, that is just so important. And that's what this guy has brought to the team, and he's done it really under the radar in a way that a stat head like myself or like you, Jeff, or like you, Hip, can appreciate when you look at the numbers at the end of the game to see who did the thing that wasn't necessarily flashy but did the dirty work, and that guy continues to do dirty work.
Good call.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think both Alec Martinez and Torrey Mitchell are great calls, but it's really tough because a lot of the players played so well, so to break it down to just three stars is really tough to do when everyone's playing. But I want to give my third star to who I call the Masked Crusader, who people who follows my Facebook and listening out there will know what I'm talking about. But number 23, Dustin Brown, who really impressed me in this game. He set up Adrian Kempe for his goal. Even though Brown was in the crease for that disallowed goal, he was in there. He's battling. He's still going to the crease trying to create screens or tip-ins. He got four hits tonight in 18 minutes of play. He was doing some very good passing. He was trying to power through players instead of like we saw in the last few years where if you just touch him, he'll fall. He's actually trying to – he's been doing this all year. He's been trying to stay on his feet and getting out there. And being in the boards, mucking those pucks out, creating plays, getting in the faces of the other players. And like what I said with Kempe's goal, Brown was on that rush, dropped pass to him, and then created a screen so Kempe can pick it and put the puck right into the net. So Dustin Brown got one assist. He was a plus one, two shots, four hits, and again, showing just how much of a resurgence that he's having this year that we're all really happy to see. And again, kudos to Pierre Turgeon for whatever he's been doing with Dustin Brown, because Dustin Brown is definitely not the same player that he's been in the last few years, and thank the hockey gods for that. So I'm going to go with number 23, Dustin Brown, as my third pick.
Perfect. Hey, just as that goal broke down too, Jeff, I was almost thinking, you know, that's a play, really, I'd like to see the Kings do more often. I mean, think from it from the perspective of a goalie. You know, Brown makes that little drop pass to Kempe. Kempe's got that deceptively quick shot and that accurate wrist shot. So think he drops it back to Kempe, and he makes that bull charge right to the net. You know, I mean, imagine you're the goalie. You're going to see Brown coming across the line. He makes the little drop pass, and then he's darting right towards you. You know, he's bull charging.
No,
you're
definitely
seeing this. You know, that's got to be one hell of a distraction for a goalie.
We need Brown
no
to be that wrecking ball, and he's doing that. So, yeah, kudos to him.
Absolutely. Go ahead, Jeff. Number two, buddy.
The number two star. This player really, really impressed me today with his passing skills, with his hockey IQ, and that is someone that I have criticized many times on the show, but I always give credit when credit is due, and second star, Nick Shore. I thought Nick Shore was just fantastic today. Two assists, both of his assists were picture-perfect passes. The one with to Trevor Lewis, where he just set him up perfectly while they were on the breakout, and then Lewis banked it in. And then later on in the game, on a two-on-one kind of half break, which actually was pretty fun to watch how things kind of went back and forth with that one. But it ends up Nick Shore again setting up Tyler Toffoli with yet another perfect pass. I'm talking tape to tape. And we've seen Shore kind of do this recently as well, maybe a few weeks ago. I think it was to one of Gabbert's goals. I don't remember exactly, but if Nick Shore has an opportunity and he doesn't take too long to make a pass, which has been one of his weaknesses, if he could use his peripheral vision or just his sense or just his experience with playing with these players, knowing when someone is there with him on the rush, knowing where the opposing defenseman is and where the puck needs to be and where not to be. Sure, this game was obviously not Wayne Gretzky, obviously not Adam Oates, but in that sense, just perfect passing, throwing the Philadelphia defense off balance by setting up the Russian player in first Lewis and then Tyler Toffoli. Number two for me is Nick Shore for those excellent passes that he did today. I think when he was 36 in the dot line, so he wasn't very good doing faceoffs. But man, setting up those plays were fantastic, and you know what? To me, were highlight reels. So number two star, Nick Shore.
I couldn't really good pick. That was a consensus for all of us. Plus, this is what we have in like the Jordan Nolan effect, right? We have a player we've been pretty harsh on and criticizing. When he comes out and has a great game, we notice it, we take action, and we call it like we see it. He had an amazing game, and I hope he does it. I hope that he has 2-point games the rest of the season making passes like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Jeff, go ahead. Call it. Go play the sound, and you get to go ahead and do the number one star, buddy.
All right, so here we go. The number one star of the game.
The tension's killing me.
The one, the only, the real Last Jedi, Jonathan Quick, number 32, with another outstanding game, outstanding victory, keeping the Kings in, making some, as I always say, gravity-defying, hashtag vintage quick saves, 36 saves on 37 shots, a .973 save percentage. Jonathan Quick, even with the losses the last few games, Jonathan Quick is keeping the Kings in every game, except maybe that one Vegas one we're all forgetting about. It was the Vegas flu, so we forget that one. But Quick today, absolutely fantastic, showing his Jedi skills, making saves that really had no business saving. Covering the puck while he's on the splits, doing the splits, which is vintage Quick, and then Wayne Simmonds trying to poke him, and in classic Quick fashion, Quick waits for the whistle, and then gets in his old teammate buddy's face, Wayne Simmonds, because Quick is also nuts in the head, and loves to, he's just so aggressive, he would fight if he could, if he was allowed to. So Jonathan Quick, the number one star of the game, 36 saves, 973 save percentage. Once again, the Jedi comes through for the LA Kings.
Yeah, absolutely. Amazing game. And, it's funny. He was clearly the number one star. Like, there, as good a game as Shore had, there is no – he was clearly far and above on his game. And, I believe it was Sean O'Donnell, and I think it was Sean O'Donnell who said it, basically when Quick is on his game, you're simply just not going to win. When he's on his game, that's really all there is to it.
No, absolutely. And that's why, in my opinion, he's the best money goalie in the NHL today. He might not win every game in the regular season, though he has hit 40 and he's hit the late 30s many times. He's a two-time Vezina nominee and is a winner of the Jennings Trophy. But what's great about Jonathan Quick, which – you know, when people look at his stats, people who are hardcore analytics fans looking at Jonathan Quick, they look at his save percentage, usually hovering around the 915, 916 area, which really is league average. But what they don't what they don't count is the saves that he makes that he should not be making, but because of his athleticism, because of his reflex, because of his natural born talent and his driven mentality, he makes those saves, and that's what keeps the Kings in. So he might not have the best regular season stats, most of the time. He's the guy you want to make that one crazy save to keep you in the game, and then so the Kings could come back, tie it, and win it. We've seen that so many times. And the best playoff goalie in the NHL today.
Without a doubt, without a doubt. Hey, guys, I got to cut out here just because I'm kind of under the weather and whatnot. One last thing, though, that I wanted to point out, and I don't really want to call this the goat of the game because, I mean, the Kings won 4-1, and, you know, you can never have a goat on a winning effort. But Derek Forbert, definitely not one of his better games. Not that he did any glaring errors, but there was just a couple things that I noticed about him. A, he has a real hard time making a quick first crisp outlet pass. Other defensemen, you see that man who's wide open, you can hit that quick outlet pass, start the rush. I noticed tonight, he just, I don't know if the game's too fast for him, and there's a lot of times where I thought he had a wide open forward that he was going to move it up forwards to. Instead, he takes a little bit of too much time, ends up moving the puck really into a, I don't want to say dangerous area because it's not like he's lofting it up the middle, but just a lot of questionable first passes that I see from him. The other thing that I noticed too, is there a player that has a uncanny, bordering on uniquely bizarre ability to not get the puck to the net? Like, you know, you get it. There's a line of traffic in front, Doughty, Martinez, Muzzin. They can, for the most part, get the puck through or at least on target. But next time when the Kings play, watch Forbert. He has a uncanny knack of just getting his shots blocked and not being able to get those pucks to the front of the net. And so I just kind of wanted to point that out. And you guys have a great night. Jeff, thanks for pinch hitting for me the last couple of days while my world was going crazy with so much different stuff going on. Anybody that has no plans and is in Orange County, this Friday my band's going to be playing at the Classic Rock Coffee House in Fullerton from 7 to 9:30, I guess, is our slated time. So anybody that's got no plans and in Orange County want to come out and see the Hired Gun Trio, please do. All ages, should be a good time. And Jeff, Augie, and all the other L.A. Kings Road Talk Radio listeners, man, hey, I wish you guys have a wonderful Christmas, all right?
Thanks, Jeff. You too. Hey, have a great Christmas.
Hey, by the way, on a separate note, for those of you groupies out there who are looking for a band to be a groupie of, Hired Gun Trio is looking for groupies actively. So,
that's right.
I mean, they're not too picky. They're not too picky. So, I mean, if you have doubts, this is the time to go out there and think of this as the open audition as you step into the world of being a groupie. Hired Gun Trio.
Yep. And
yes.
That's right.
And you better
– and we are
and
taking –
you better act fast. You better act fast on that, too, because the ad's going on Craigslist, groupies wanted for aging rock band.
Nice.
Yes, and we also
nice. –
And for groupies, we are also taking resumes, and we will check your references. Have at least 3 references if you want to be a groupie for the band, and just send it to lakingsradio@gmail.com, and we can get that over to Hip Check and the band. And maybe it's you. You could be that groupie or groupies, but, you know, put that in there. Send it out, and definitely check out the band, guys.
Yep,
love you guys.
Sure.
Have a great night, man.
All right, man. Later, Hip.
All right. Later, guys.
All right, see you, Hip. Have a good one. Augie, your
hey,
thoughts
Jeff.
On – and I know – hold on, Augie. I know there's callers out there. We're going to get to you really, really quick. So just hold on a sec, and we will bring you on. Yes, Augie.
I was going to say, hey, Dad just gave us the keys to the car. What are we going to do to wreck this shit up, huh?
I wanted to talk to you about Clash of the Champions, maybe some WWE, maybe some New Japan. What do you say?
Oh, hey, you know what, man? As long as it's old school stuff, then I would love to have that discussion for sure. But, you know, we still have a show here to do that's based on the LA Kings Road Talk Radio and their big win tonight.
Right. Okay, then how about this? Because, you know, this show, the Grand Poobah, of course, is the Hip Check Scott Cahill, and we did just talk about the band, that maybe we should start advertising his band, advertising for groupies to be with his band, and we can spend the rest of the show just trying to get it, you know, to the female audience out there to see if anyone's interested in becoming a groupie. What do you think?
Yeah, maybe. But you know what? We could do that for the Grand Poobah. It's kind of our duty to do that for the Grand Poobah, because after all, he is the Grand Poobah.
So.
Without him, there's no show. Yeah, good point.
That's right.
Well played.
But we do have some callers. Maybe they have some good ideas of what we could do for the rest of the show. Should I give them a chance, Augie?
Yeah, let's see. Let's see what's out there. Let's see what good ideas are out there.
All right, calling from the 440 area. I believe that is the state of Ohio. You're on LA Kings Road Talk Radio.
How are you doing on that, Jeff?
Good, Jerry. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Good. Well, I was kind of the first two periods were kind of shaky for me because it just looked like a carbon copy of the Islander game. I mean, you know, it was great. They got up by two goals, and then they give one away, and, you know, and then that second period was just flat. And I'm thinking, this is exactly what happened the other night. So I was just praying for that good third period, and they got it this time. They got all the bugs worked out of the third period this time and put the game away. So...
Yes, they did. Hip made a great point that you can tell when it came, to the end of the third period, even though the Kings had a pretty big lead at that point. But even the last few periods, the Kings were really playing hard in those final minutes as if it was Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final because of what had been happening recently, going back to that old habit of where the Kings are vulnerable at the end of a period, the end of a game, or even the beginning of the game, beginning of the period, which we've seen that bad habit kind of slip into the game a little bit in the last few games. Actually, a lot, and we've seen it happen, and it's cost the Kings wins and points. So it was really good today to see that John Stevens has made the Kings kind of work on that, you know. And they were, and remember, they were down a man. Follin got injured early in the game, so they were down one defenseman, and Follin ended up only playing about 3 minutes, and that's it. But Augie, your thoughts on how the Kings played, especially at near the ends of the periods and at the end of the game? Augie, are you there? Okay, no Augie for now. Probably technical difficulties. Jerry, did you have a star of the game? Who impressed you? What player or what players impressed you today, sir?
I would have to agree with you on Quick definitely being the star of the game. He came and he kept him in the game. He kept him, you know, in that space where they could win the game, made some phenomenal saves. I mean, I had to watch it on NHL TV, and they have the Flyers broadcast team, and they were, you know, that was what they were focusing on, was Quick and his athleticism, and that, you know, there were a couple of saves there, one where he just in a full set of leg splits slid completely across the crease. Out of the crease, stop the puck.
Yep.
And, you know, how many other goalies in the league can even do that?
No. That's why he's so unique, right? Like, I always say to people, especially kids over here that are, you know, are playing hockey and developing and becoming a goalie, they play goalie for the team and everything. I always say to them, what kind of goalie do you want to be like? Like, if you played in the NHL, who would you want to be like, right? And, so you know, sometimes they say Brodeur. Some will say, you know, Carey Price. Back in the day, it would be Patrick Roy or Dominic Hasek, right? But when they say Jonathan Quick, one, I say, ah, that's my goalie for my team. That's so nice, right? Because they're not Kings fans. So when they say that, I'm like, right on. Jonathan Quick is getting the respect, right? But when they say quick, I'm like, okay, you got to understand, kid. When you're playing hockey, you can't really teach someone how to play quick style. You can teach someone how to play positional goaltending, like a Martin Brodeur. But Martin Brodeur was a position. He was a positional goaltender, but he would also work butterfly style. He would go on his stomach if he had to. But you know, someone like a Carey Price is very calm. Henrik Lundqvist, very calm in net, and they're covering everything. In a way, when they make saves, it's almost like they're a blocker. They're just letting the puck bounce off of them instead of trying to make that save. Jonathan Quick is the complete opposite. He's so flexible. He's so nuts in the head, and he's so determined that, you know, he'll do the splits, and he'll save some. He'll do that scorpion kick to make a save. And even today, doing the splits, and the Flyers trying to poke the puck into the net, and Quinn is just denying and denying, and they're going after them after the whistle. You can't teach people how to play like Jonathan Quick, because he was born like that. I mean, Quick, if he becomes a coach, can't even teach kids how to do that. And I put him in the same category of a Mike Richter, who was his idol, of a Bill Ranford, when Ranford was of course, he's our LA Kings goalie coach, but when he played for the Edmonton Oilers or with Team Canada, or even Dominic Hasek, who's probably the best at it. They are reflex goaltenders, instinctive goaltenders. They make saves because of their natural-born instinct and flexibility and their reflexes. So Jonathan Quick, definitely a unique goaltender. And you're right, Jerry, there is nobody else like that in the NHL today. He is the money guy that you want if you want to win a Stanley Cup in the playoffs, because he may not make every save, but he'll make the save that's going to keep you in the game and have a chance at winning it. Would you agree, sir?
Oh, definitely. I mean, you're definitely with him in the net. You're definitely in the game until the end on 99.9% of the nights. Everybody's going to have that one game that, you know, if you play, Quick plays upwards of 60 games a year. So they're not all going to be gems. They're not all going to be gems. He's going to have one where he might just flat out stink one night. And, you know, that's just being human. That's just being human.
Yep.
But
absolutely. Nobody's perfect, but go ahead, sir.
There haven't been too many losses that you can blame on Quick. You can blame it on other things, it's not Quick.
The Vegas game, yes.
The Vegas game, and he was out of the Vegas game very early because he just wasn't there. You know, so, and you don't know. That's the thing. Like, you know, I see people online talking about, you know, he's let in two goals in a period, and they're talking about, well, get the hook, pull him. And it's like, no, because of his
knee-jerk reaction,
competitive mindset. When he's smashing sticks and doing all the other stuff that other fans make fun of him for, that's because he's pissed at himself. It's not that he's pissed at the other guys on the team. He's pissed at himself. When he lets a goal in, he takes it harder than anybody else.
He does.
So, he's also broken a few sticks in tributes to referees too. I've been there and seen that. That's the best.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Well, he's gonna break it over
Jerry,
the ref's head. Yeah.
Oh, just say very, very good points, Jerry. But sorry, didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
Oh no. I said as long as he doesn't break the stick over the ref's head and end up suspended for 20 or 30 games, we're good.
Yeah, hopefully that's not coming
to
the road.
I actually like it when he throws a little tantrum like that. That's the kind of fire I want in a goalie.
I think Jonathan Quick plays better when he's pissed off, because that only makes him even more driven to beat the other team. You know. All right, we got to let you go. We got another caller, Jerry. Thank you so much again for calling in and for all your support, sir.
All right, you guys have a good night. Talk to you again.
Good
all right,
Jerry.
You too.
Bye, Jerry.
Go keep
all right,
going.
Bye.
All right, Jerry Atkin, strong friend of the show. Augie, I was asking earlier, but I don't know if you're having difficulties with your phone. I just wanted to get your take on how the Kings were playing in comparison, say, to the last two games where, you know, they gave up goals late in a period or late in the game, where today it seemed like at the end of the periods they were playing like as if it was Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final. Your thoughts on that?
It was something that showed itself in the homestand. They did that, allowing the Senators to tie the game late, letting Carolina back in the game when they essentially pretty much had them put away. And it followed them on the East Coast and losses to the Rangers and the Islanders that just didn't let out the Mortal Kombat in them. And tonight they did let out the Mortal Kombat. They actually listened to the instruction of finish him, and they finished off the Philadelphia Flyers. And that was the difference right there. And that was a very refreshing thing to see, because we still saw some things we'd rather not see in this game, and hopefully they address those deficiencies, because once again a lot of penalties, getting those mental lapses, giving up goals really late in periods. Those are things that we do not want to see, because those are the things that are going to be difference makers come as the season progresses, and you got to clean that stuff up. Does that mean that you are going to eliminate it completely? No, but you can't have it happening in consecutive games. Once in a while it should happen, but it shouldn't be a 3 or 4 or 5 game trend where a team scores a tying goal or a goal so late in the period where there's nothing you can do to come back from it. So those are things that I think need a little bit of attention and need some cleanup work for this team to continue this really just historic season then and this historic start that they've embarked on.
So far, so good, definitely. But speaking of the Sinbin, I believe they were in the box 6 times tonight. 6 times, of course, Philadelphia with their 1 goal by Jacob Voracek scored on one of them, which now makes 7 straight games where the Kings have given up a goal while killing a penalty where they were on a major streak before, especially during that 8-game win streak, where they weren't allowing any goals while on the PK. So there's still a little few holes in the Kings game there, but you know what? Can't be perfect all the time, and as long as John Stevens is aware of it and he's making his players aware of it so they can improve and fix it, we'll be okay. Because even though the Kings lost the last 2 games, they were competitive. They could have been in it. A lucky bounce here, a lucky bounce there. That call on Jake Muzzin, a clutterbuck, should not have happened. There was no elbow to the face, you know, but they didn't get that luck. They'll win more than they will lose. But also on the line here, good friend of the show, Mr. Larry Jensen. Larry, how are you today?
Hey, fellas, how's it going tonight? It's going well.
Good, very good. How about you, sir?
I am doing really well. I just wanted to comment. I mean, I think the team really connected in that. They actually made a lot more. They played a lot better tonight, and they came through with a good win tonight. I was hoping they would. The Flyers are kind of hard to predict sometimes, but this team, this game was really came through tonight. They did a good job.
Who impressed you the most on the Kings, Larry?
He always does. I think that, of course Dewey did. I think he's just the quintessential defenseman that the Kings have always needed and depended on. Another one was Toffoli. I mean, he's actually, I think he tied his all time season record amount of goals from last year, I think it was.
Yes, he did. He got his 16th of the year, which is exactly what he got all last season. A very injury riddled season.
Yeah, and I think he's going to do a lot, but he's going to improve even more. I mean, this is just summer. Come on, this guy's still, doing a lot better. And I'm telling you, this guy, he's he should be a first line forward, but I mean, for what I mean, to spread out the talent along the four lines, I mean, he's right where he needs to be. So I mean, I think that Stevens is doing a lot of good things with this with the lineup and you know, putting in the scratches where he needs to be, you know, where they need to be, and just doing what he has to do to find that chemistry on each game.
Yeah, for sure. Augie, your thoughts on Tyler Toffoli?
Hey man, Cupcake is healthy. He's got two legs this year. So last year, near the end of the year, he was fighting an injury that he's had a subsequent procedure on, because he was playing practically on one leg, which also contributed to the cut down, the reduction in goals, which actually turned out to be a blessing in disguise, because he was not able to capitalize on huge money on a free agent year and gave the Kings a sweetheart of a deal, so that him and Pearson could both be signed, because we were really thinking to ourselves that one of them was gone and one of them would not be back. And turns out that Tyler Toffoli really loves L.A., really loves living here, and luckily his fiance works for the Los Angeles Dodgers, and I'm sure that had a little bit of influence there. And when you've got a South Bay lifestyle and the beach lifestyle, and you're a multimillionaire and you get to play hockey and then leave the arena in shorts and flip-flops every day, I think that's a pretty good incentive to stay in L.A. But, Tyler Toffoli, just having fun out there. He's refreshed and he's doing, just having a really wonderful season thus far. And all he's got to do is just stay healthy and have those players around him stay healthy. And he's going to continue to produce. And we as LA Kings fans shall reap the rewards of watching the Cupcake out there.
Absolutely. And speaking of playing in California, and once you leave that ice, once you leave that rink, you're in shorts, you know, you're in the beautiful sun, you live by the beach. I know to me that sounds like a deal and a half. I would definitely take that. But I think Will Butcher would disagree with that one, though. As much as he said he liked L.A. and he would have loved to have that lifestyle, he picked New Jersey over us. What's up with that, Augie? I know we talked about that recently, but, man, how could you turn down a chance to play for the Kings that is still in contention for a Stanley Cup? And I know that he would have ended up in the farm and stuff, but, man, he would have lived on a beach. It would have been fantastic. But, you know what, even if I don't make the Kings, if you guys can find a place for me, I'll come down anyways, because I just live Southern California so much. I don't understand when players do not want to come down and play for the Los Angeles Kings or their farm system, because, come on, you're in paradise and with the best team in the world. I think so, at least. You think so, Larry?
Yeah, well,
absolutely.
No doubt.
All right. Are you kidding me? We have such a great following here in SoCal. I mean, there's so many different outlets for hockey, and you know, even though the Culver City the ice rink over there is not there anymore. I mean, there's still a hotbed of activity for hockey here.
Yeah, absolutely. I get into debates and then arguments with people up here in Canada. You know, Toronto Maple Leaf fans, Montreal Canadiens fans. It's a Canadian team fan. I don't get it from Boston or Detroit fans, but I always hear like, "Oh, come on, California! They don't know anything about ice unless it's in their drinks or blah blah blah." And that just drives me insane, because here I am as a Canadian, longtime LA Kings fan who's been down there and has made friends that have become family down there, who know so much about hockey, and some of them just love hockey, not even other sports. But when it comes to knowledge with hockey, how about our very own LA Kings superfan Augie Loya as the perfect example? And I just love it, and I throw that back at their faces, and they don't believe me. And I'm like, you know what? You guys are now being ignorant. Canadian fans are now being ignorant and hockey snobs, because, you know, California now has grassroots hockey, and it's had it for a bit. How many players from California are now playing in the NHL? How many NHL teams are in California? How many American Hockey League teams are in California? You know, it's just this expansion's been going on now for years, this explosion, I would say, since Gretzky went down. But I think it's fantastic when a Californian-born player gets drafted into the NHL. Augie, can you give us a list here of some players born in California that have been drafted and are now playing in the NHL for my Canadian listeners who are my cousins and family? And thanks, guys, for listening and supporting the show. Sorry that I'm yelling at you right now, but you guys need to hear this. Augie, can you give us a list of some California-born players now in the National Hockey League?
Absolutely not.
Okay, so we're going to the next segment.
Yeah.
I know of one player from Arizona. That's Austin Matthews on the Toronto Maple Leafs, who has been absolutely amazing.
Yeah. I mean, Austin Matthews, obviously, from Arizona. But, hey, here's a little something for you guys to chew on. So Bo Bennett. Was born here, and because he brought the cup here when the Penguins won the cup a couple of years ago before he got traded to New Jersey.
I believe Megan was at that party.
That's right.
Was at that party. Yep.
That's right. And here's another little tidbit for you. When he was a teenager, this kid left Canada and came to Southern California to live and pursue his hockey dream here in California before he was the number one draft pick of the Pittsburgh Penguins, and that's Sid the Kid himself, Sidney Crosby. Check the facts, boys. Look at the Sports Illustrated article that featured him. He did his teenage years here in beautiful, sunny Southern California.
I'm glad you brought that up, Augie, because I've been hearing even the last few summers, not just him, but him and Nathan MacKinnon, who are good friends, MacKinnon of the Colorado Avalanche, still go to Los Angeles for some of their training. Is that true? Like to this day?
That's absolutely true. That's absolutely true. They stay over at one of the hotels in Santa Monica. I happen to know this. I won't get into the circumstances under why I know this, because it's that gets into National Enquirer territory. But just
protect
know that,
your
yes,
sources.
A lot of them
protect your sources.
Exactly, protect my sources. You got it. MacKinnon and Crosby are there, and a lot of their other friends are there training too. As a matter of fact, when the just before preseason starts in the NHL, if you go to TSC on a random day, you would have seen Jeff Carter, Tyler Toffoli, Tanner Pearson, and Milan Lucic all working out together at Toyota Sports Center here during the summer. So all these guys do get together out here and train together out here. Quite a few of them do. So there are those who love to go fishing and love to go up to the Great White North and do their thing, which is wonderful, but there are so many of them that have put down roots here in Southern California.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt at all. And I love it. I love hearing that. I love hearing that Sid the Kid and Nathan MacKinnon, former, you know, first-round draft pick in the NHL, go down there and train. And like I tell the Leafs fans here, the Montreal Canadiens fans here, you guys have no idea. If you guys came down with me to SoCal, say for a Kings versus Habs game or a Kings versus Leafs game, down there at the Staples Center, you're going to be shocked at how knowledgeable Kings fans truly are about the sport of hockey, hockey history, the Stanley Cup, international hockey. I know so many people already that know more stuff than I do in certain things and would know more than they would because they're legit hockey fans. And, you know, it's California. You're L.A. especially, you know, there's a super strong fan base for the Lakers, and rightfully so. Super strong fan base for the Dodgers, and rightfully so. You go up to NorCal, and, you know, the Giants and all that. But there's hardcore hockey fans there, and that's why the Staples Center has been selling out for how many years now? Like, they've been going on and on and on, and the passion is there. And I just love how the Kings winning the Cup in 2012, 2014, guys like Sidney Crosby, Nathan MacKinnon, plus LA King players, being down there in the summer where kids can, you know, witness you know, them practicing and stuff, they're really just inspiring the next generation of players. So it makes me really, really excited about that. But, yeah, definitely. But then again, I'm always California dreaming, so maybe I'm a little biased. Because if not California, yeah, then Ohio. Those are two states I always wanna go check out. Have you ever skated with Sidney Crosby and Nathan MacKinnon while they were down there, Augie?
No, I haven't. But guess who I had an encounter with last night, Jeff Duart?
Okay, I don't know. Who?
Come on, drum roll.
Okay, hold on. We did pay big money for this, so it does deserve it. Here we go. Augie's reveal in...
Last night in my beer league hockey game, it was my team Sewage against the Slapshot Regatta, who had none other than Justin Bieber out there skating for them last night. So the Biebs and I have a little bit of history, good history, some bad history. So when I'm out there on the ice, I'm exactly. So I'm
sorry
out there on the ice, and we're taking a face off, and I'm lined up against the boards because we're just off to the side. And from behind the benches, I hear a voice, and the voice goes something like this. He goes, he says his name is Augie, but it's really Jose Loya, and he's Despacito. And I got serenaded and chirped by the Biebs. How many people can say they've been serenaded by the Biebs? I am one of them now.
Wow. Congratulations, Augie.
I feel like a dubious honor there, Augs. I'm sorry, but I can't go with that. I think that was a dubious honor there.
Larry, you know what? Justin Bieber knows my name.
What's that?
Larry, have you ever watched pro wrestling in the late 90s in the WWE Attitude Era, Monday Night War? Did you ever watch wrestling back then?
Yeah. I watched a little bit of it. I'm not much of a wrestling fan,
so,
but I did watch some of it, yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Augie's feud with Justin Bieber is the equivalent to Stone Cold Steve Austin and Vince McMahon in that feud. I mean,
oh boy.
They have battled against each other. They even teamed up at one point, which didn't work out, and they went back to being enemies. Augie, would you agree?
No, I wouldn't agree. It's actually probably more like Roddy Piper and Cyndi Lauper.
Oh! Hey, that started WrestleMania. Are you saying you guys are going to start pay-per-view event?
Yeah, absolutely. After all, hey, the Biebs knows my name, man. I mean, to get serenaded by Justin Bieber and he knows your name, that's pretty darn cool once you look at it. I mean, the kid, he's only one of the most, like, sought-after celebrities in the world right now. It's really insane.
Yeah,
but,
true.
No, we won last night. We won 7-0. We shut the Biebs down. We made a concerted effort to keep them off the score sheet, and we did.
Right on. Congrats. That's awesome.
I like to hear that.
That's awesome.
Yep.
All right. Anything else on the Biebs, Augie, or can we go around the NHL?
Actually, you can go to TMZ. Someone shot footage of him playing last night, and it's on TMZ. So if you go to TMZ.com, and it's probably a TMZ Sports, take a look at Bieber playing out there with us for about 15, 20 seconds, however long the clip is. And you will see the Biebs wipe out. You will see him lose an edge and then do some push-ups as punishment to himself.
You know,
and
I'm going to be honest, Augie, because...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay. No, I was going to say, can you guess which team jersey he was wearing out there? Which team was the Biebs repping out on the ice last night?
I was actually going to ask you if he was wearing a Kings jersey again like he did that one time.
No, not a Kings jersey this time. What do you
probably
think?
All right, Larry, any guesses?
I'm thinking the Ducks. That's
no.
Just, that's just how much
Ooh. No.
I know.
No.
All right, Augie. But here comes the drum roll. Okay, here comes the drum roll. Justin Bieber's jersey that he was wearing when he played against Augie, getting shut out 7-0, was, after this drum roll, and I think I pressed the wrong one, so ignore it. Drum roll, please. Here we go.
Justin Bieber was out there rocking none other than the colors from an original six team, a blue jersey with a white leaf on the front that belongs to none other than the Toronto Maple Leafs. That's what the Bees was rocking last night. Repping the Toronto Maple Leafs out at the LA Kings Valley Ice Center in Panorama City.
There you go.
Well, nice. To be fair, he was born near Toronto. You know, that I'm pretty sure that was his team before he became famous. But since he's been famous, you know, we've seen him with Kings jerseys and hats, even outside of, you know, playing with Augie and everything. He has played with Augie with a Kings jersey on. He's had Chicago Blackhawks hats, Pittsburgh Penguins hats. Notice it's always hats of teams that have recently won the Stanley Cup. But, at least, you know, it makes sense if it was the Leafs. But if it was the Ducks or San Jose, I think I would have been a bit upset because he has worn the armor of the LA Kings. So it could have been a lot worse. So that's not too bad.
Yep, that's right. So there you go. That's my Justin Bieber update. That's my Justin Bieber story for the week of LA Kings Road Talk Radio.
The feud of LA Kings Road Talk Radio. McMahon versus Austin. Augie versus the Biebs. Okay, we're going to go around the NHL quickly, guys. We actually got some help, in help as in the Anaheim Ducks, who are riddled with injuries. Eventually, it might start making a comeback, but that ain't happening tonight. The New Jersey Devils took out the Anaheim Ducks 5-3, and that is the final. The Boston Bruins, inspired by Augie's team, scored 7 goals, but couldn't shut down the Columbus Blue Jackets, winning 7-2. In a battle of division rivals, the Edmonton Oilers right now are defeating the San Jose Sharks 3-2 in the third period, 13:59 left to go in that game. And the Colorado Avalanche are beating the reigning Stanley Cup champs, the Pittsburgh Penguins, with Sid the Kid himself. Third period, 17 minutes ago. And, of course, our LA Kings defeated the Philadelphia Flyers 4-1 tonight. That is our Around the NHL. Augie, your thoughts on those scores and games?
Well, thank you, New Jersey. You destroyed us, and you beat the Ducks without giving up a point, so that's a wash. I'm good with that. Any day that the Ducks lose, well, most day, 90% of the time, if the Ducks lose, I'm happy. There are those occasions, though, where I do have to root for them, unfortunately, just for the sake of what's good for the Kings.
Oh, don't make me hang
then,
up, Bog. Don't make me hang
I'm
up.
I'm sorry, but
do not make
I, it's
me hang
okay.
up.
there are times I know, but when they're going up against the Golden Knights, who are yipping at our tails, I'm sorry,
right,
but
we
have to root for what's best for the front of the crest. And yeah, I do have to take a rape shower sometimes after I root for the Ducks, but it's one of those things in life that you got to get dirty sometimes. You got to get dirty sometimes before you can get clean. So. Yeah.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Nice.
With that logic, how can I argue with it? Perfect.
You gotta take one.
No
for
doubt.
The team.
Take one. For
What's
the team.
That, Larry?
You gotta take one
for
the
take
team.
One for the team for sure.
Know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, Larry. Anything else before we let you go here?
Just I hope you guys have a great holiday season. And a Merry Christmas. And hopefully we can keep this momentum going into the new year. And, I'm just really excited about the way the team was playing well tonight, and they just they took care of business. So, so Merry Christmas to you, Augie, and JD, and have yourself a wonderful night.
All right. Thanks, Larry. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to you too, sir. Go Kings, go.
Go Kings, go.
All right. That was Larry Jensen. And now we're down to two.
Mr. Jensen. Now we're down to you and I.
Anything you want to talk about, Augie, before we end the show?
Sure. Hey, guess what I'm going to be doing tomorrow morning? I was given time for the spectacular drum roll, but that's okay. It's not quite that necessary.
Okay, hold on. It is necessary, damn it. I just let you down, Augie. Let me make it up to you. You're going to reveal what you did or what you're going to do in the morning. Here is the drum roll for that.
Let's hear it. Tomorrow morning, downtown Los Angeles, across the street from the Staples Center, yours truly, Augie Loya, is going to be at the holiday LA Kings Holiday on Ice, skating with some Los Angeles Kings.
Very cool. Very, very cool.
Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? Now, here's the thing. How did this happen, you ask? Okay.
How,
it had nothing
how did
to do
this
with
happen,
Justin
Augie?
Bieber. What happened was Delta Airlines held a contest, and one of my friends happened to be one of the lucky people selected, and they got to invite somebody and were nice enough to invite me to come along. So tomorrow I'm going to put on the hockey skates and go out there and skate with some of the Los Angeles Kings. Which ones? I don't know. Is it going to be Kings alumni? I don't know. Is it going to be Tanner Pearson, Tyler Toffoli, or Alec Martinez? Maybe. Is it going to be Drew Doughty? Doubtful. Is it going to be Andrei Kopitar, Dustin Brown? I don't think so. But with my luck, it'll probably be Torrey Mitchell, Andy Andrioff, and Kyle Clifford. And either way, I will be very happy because I will be out there on ice with hockey skates on and doing laps with some of the folks from my favorite team of all the Los Angeles Kings.
Actually, yeah, that's really, really cool, Augie. I love – is that the open ice there on LA Live that they put every year? Like right there where,
yes.
You know, where you walk in?
Yes, right across the street from Staples Center, there is ice out there with a Christmas tree in the middle. So for those of you that are planning to come to Los Angeles, go to LA Live. You can actually go out there, rent skates before the game, during the game, after the game, and go and skate your hearts out there with a bunch of other people, bump into them, find a pretty girl. If you knock her over, be kind and lift her up and teach her how to do crossovers. And hopefully, if you do it well enough, you might score yourself a phone number, and then that way you can get off of Tinder or any other swiping apps that you may be using to get dates right now.
There you go, listeners. Augie, we don't just talk about hockey here. We don't just talk about the Kings and LA Kings Road Talk Radio. We also give you tips when it comes to love lives and how to find a date. We do it all here. What other show are you going to find that talks Kings and can give someone tips on how to, bump into a lady and get yourself a date? So check it out, everyone. But don't do anything stupid like, you know, if she falls down and she's hurt, don't be asking her for a date. Like, call the medical people. Don't be dumb out there, people. Don't be dumb. But I love Augie, how they put
exactly.
The rink out there every year. They have the Christmas tree out there. Like, I love looking at that. And, have a lot of fun skating with the Kings. But I'm thinking, what if it's Derek Forbort? And what if he starts serenading you like Bieber did? Would that be awkward?
It would be a little awkward because of the fact that I've actually made friends with a couple of Derek's relatives and give them pictures of Derek Forbort. So I actually have to be very nice to Derek Forbort and not say to him anymore, you know, we passed up Vladimir Tarasenko to draft you, right? You do know that, right? You
yeah.
do realize that. Yeah. So, yes, I have to be nice to Derek Forbort now because his relatives are actually very nice to me. So, yeah.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. All right, Augie, so this show went pretty fast. Thank you so much for calling, for all your help, my friend.
Oh, thank you for having me, Jeff. I love talking hockey with you, as always. It's just it's so much fun, and we have good laughs and good times, and it's a really good course hip, and our wonderful callers that do call in, and that we get to talk some LA Kings hockey with. So hopefully – let's see, next game is against the Avalanche on Thursday. So be there at Frozen Dojo, and they are going to be honoring Marion Gaborik and celebrating his wonderful achievements that he's accomplished on this road trip. So we will see that happening at the next homestand. And then they take off to San Jose, I believe, and then come back and face the Golden Knights a week from Thursday. So, yeah,
that
so
is
we got
correct.
Three more games before the year wraps up.
So we may have a show on the 23rd when they face the San Jose Sharks on the road, but I can't confirm that 100%. But Augie and I, listeners, we will talk to the Hip Check and we'll get that all figured out. So that's the end of this post. That's the end of this Easter road trip. Kings going back home, like Augie mentioned. So that means that's it for us right now. So on behalf of the Hip Check, Scott Cahill, and LA Kings Road Talk Radio, thank you, everyone, for listening in. And a special thank you to Jerry and Larry for the support that they show us and calling into the show. So, everyone, I have been J.D. Styles, and my partner here has been the LA Kings superfan. But now we are out of here with a little coked up Elvis. Have a good night, everyone. Go, Kings.
Have a good night.
Go.
Go.
Go Kings go. Oh yes. Go Kings go.